Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. New York Federal Reserve President William Dudley went before a crowd in Queens recently in an attempt to quell fears about the rising cost of everything. To make his point, Dudley pointed out that, quote, "Today you can buy an iPad 2 that costs the same as the iPad 1. That's twice as powerful." So there you go. Not everything is going up in price. Not surprisingly, that was not well received by the people who reminded Dudley that you can't eat an iPad. As we're seeing food and gas prices on the rise, despite persistently weak job and housing markets, the Federal Reserve says we shouldn't be worried about inflation. But we want to hear now from you business owners or managers or purchasers in our audience. Give us a call right now and tell us if you see your expenses rising, how it's affecting your business decisions, and how it's affecting your customers' behavior. 212-433-WNYC. That's a call in for business owners or others in the management chain who see the price that you're paying for things at the business level. 212-433-WNYC. If we get a lot of reports of what's actually going on out there, it will help everybody address it. 212-433-9692. The Federal Reserve says inflation is within normal levels, so it won't raise interest rates. What do you think? Are you worried? And specifically, what are you seeing in your business, any kind of business? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And here to help take your calls is WNYC's business and economics editor, Charlie Herman. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Brian.
So the Labor Department, as these lines are filling up, announced that in February we hit a record high cost of living. Energy and food prices are on the rise as well. What does that refer to? What would they mean by a record high cost of living?
I think what they're looking at here is the fact that we are seeing overall inflation beginning to rise. If you look year over year, inflation has gone up about 2%, which may not seem like a lot, but that's a lot more than what we've seen previously. And in particular, what you're really starting to see is a huge increase in the amount of money that, or the amount of it costs to, you know, fuel your car or heat your home or purchase foods. There was a sharp increase actually in, I love when they get this sort of technical, in fresh vegetables and meats. And they think that some of that may have been related to some weather issues in the South. But basically, a lot of prices are going up in these areas where people really live, where they see sort of day to day. When you go to the gas station, you see what the price is. When you go to the grocery store and you see what a gallon of milk costs. And the difficulty is that economists like Bill Dudley, who you're just talking about, the president of the New York Federal Reserve, and and other economists who look at the economy overall, they often strip out gasoline, fuel, energy, food, and they look at what's called the core. And the reason why they do that is that that does fluctuate a lot. Things like your medical costs or what you pay in rent, that doesn't change a lot. And they like looking at that because that gives a more stable number. The problem is that's not where you and I and sort of the average person lives. So there's this real dichotomy between mm-hmm. the average person who thinks they're paying too much and the economists who say, no, everything's okay.
And what they're officially measuring. Dave and Wanta, you're on WNYC. Hiya, Dave.
Hey. Hey, good. How are you?
Good. What kind of business you have?
I have a florist. I run a florist in Wantagh, New York.
Uh-huh. Out on Long Island on the South Shore. I know Wantagh.
Yes, it's a very beautiful area.
It is. And what's happening at your business?
What's happening with our business right now is the floral business right now, everything's increasing. Gas prices, of course, number one. We've had to increase our price for delivery charges. And a little turmoil that's going on in South America, the flower prices have risen a little bit also.
Uh-huh. For certain species?
Yes. Just in particular, any turmoil that's happening in South America affects us.
But, I mean, does that affect certain species of flowers?
Yes, particularly roses.
Do you get a lot of your flowers from, say, like Colombia, places like that?
Colombia, Ecuador, primarily those areas.
And when you say you're adding delivery charges, is that are you telling people, yeah, we can deliver flowers, but we actually have to tack on an extra dollar because gasoline prices are now $3.50, close to $4?
Yeah, we actually set a regular price for deliveries, but now it's because of the price of gas. It's gone up a dollar in the past year. We've had to raise prices a little bit, and, you know, it's turned people off a little bit.
And how,
you know, it's like, They're like, you know, we're ordering flowers. We're a residual business. You know, we're a luxury. We're not something that people need.
Yeah. But how are people reacting to that when you say, okay, we're going to have to...
Whenever you raise prices, nobody's happy. Who's really happy when you raise prices?
Well, do they say, well, forget the roses. Can I have carnations instead? Do they downgrade in the flowers?
Actually, carnations are the same amount as roses, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll take
carnations
some...
Carnations are actually my mom's favorite flowers, so yeah. They're about the same price.
I'll take some daisies, Dave, okay? Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your call. I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate you checking in. Let's go to Joe in Spring Valley. Hi, Joe. You're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. It seems like every time the business perks up, something hit us. This time, you know, especially being in the transportation business, my trucks require diesel fuel. And that's high by itself because of low sulfur requirement in diesel fuel these days. And that's always like, I believe, 10, 15% higher than regular unleaded gasoline. And now it has gone even higher. So, and we can't pass the cost to the customers because we're going to lose the customers. So we have to, you know, fire employees and reduce the truck fleets.
Really?
It's like a nightmare scenario, which keeps on happening at regular intervals.
It's interesting what you're saying, because that's what we've been hearing, is that a lot of businesses, they know that consumers themselves are worried and that they can't pass on these higher costs to them. So they're eating it themselves, whether it's, like you said, cutting back trucks, or maybe you don't buy a new truck. You said you've had to actually lay off some people.
Yeah, we have to lay off. We reduce our fleet. We use more fuel-efficient trucks. And the other problem is at the Linden refinery in New Jersey, where much of the gasoline comes from, the theft where the mafia is involved goes up substantially, of theft of oil, literally from the refineries. So those guys, they sell to these gas stations at half the price for cash. And but the gas stations still sell at substantially higher prices at the same rate. And that's where our suspicion is. The killing is made by the gas stations. Engage in this kind of practices.
Final question here. At what point do you reach a tipping point where you say, you know what, I can't keep eating these costs, I'm going to have to pass it on to consumers? At what point is that?
Well, that point is right away when the fuel price increases. And customers will just not use you. They cut back themselves. So the point is... right from the conception, you know, when the fuel price starts skyrocketing. And that's enough for gas in the pipeline. That's the whole story. But these future traders on Wall Street, they take advantage of this situation because Libya supplies barely a million barrels a day, and mostly to Italy. And nothing comes here from Libya. So
right.
any such news...
a lot of speculation and manipulation.
The spike goes right in the pockets of the Wall Street future traders.
Joe, thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Good luck out there. Arlene in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. I have a retail major appliance store in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, for the last 38 years. And... heretofore, we have tried to absorb small increases and pass it along to the customers, 1%, 2%. All the major manufacturers have increased pricing as of effective April 1, 8 to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And this is absolutely going to have to be passed on to my customers because that's fast approaching our gross profit on some items.
Are there certain kinds of appliances that are going up more than others, or is this pretty much across
certain kinds, probably the ones that are most popular, they tend to do this. The ones that sell the best, they're raising the most to make more of a profit on their end.
I mean, are we talking about you know, computers and video games? Stoves and ovens?
Strictly about ranges, dishwashers, washers, dryers, etc.
Are you seeing any impact from Japan in the sense of maybe it's a refrigerator that has some particular part that they can't get from Japan?
No, I think it's too soon for that because they announced this increase maybe a month and a half ago.
And
I'm sure Japan had nothing to do with this one.
If you see these higher prices, are you worried that customers may say, you know what, I don't like this refrigerator, but this is too much. I'm just going to keep what I have right now.
I think think that perhaps they're going to trade down, and whereas they might have afforded something a little better, they'll say, no, this is not in my budget, and I'll have to get something less costly.
Arlene, why do you think...
Or put off a kitchen project, et cetera.
Why do you think these appliances are going up? We know about some of the weather events that have caused food prices to go up. We know about the Middle East and the oil. Why the price of major appliances?
Well, I think oil affects them, too, with fuel costs and things that are imported from Germany and Italy,
mm-hmm.
As well as cost of steel that China is using a lot of, and steel plays a big part in all of these appliances. So maybe the suppliers just couldn't hold their
costs down
anymore.
We're importing all that stuff. Can you find an American-made refrigerator or range?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. There are many American-made refrigerators. A lot of the customers, even American companies, have moved their factories to Mexico, and some are even coming back now because they find transportation is too high.
Arlene, thank you so much for calling. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. My producer wants to ask you a question, and I really appreciate your call. We're taking calls from business owners or managers about where you are seeing inflation right now, where are there rising prices, and what are you having to do about it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 with our business and economics editor, Charlie Herman, and Kurt in Norwalk. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Brian. I have a small natural food company in Norwalk, Connecticut that's about 2 years old. We currently sell primarily packaged granolas, and we are of such a size that when our nut prices go up, which we've seen them go up maybe 25-30% in some cases,
wow,
the cardboard boxes that we ship out have gone up by about 10-15%. Our delivery costs for shipping, we're starting to get hit with 20% fuel surcharges. And, you know, as a startup company, you're already working kind of at razor-thin margins at this point. So really the only way to kind of get through that is to develop different products that don't have such high cost of ingredients.
What's driving up the cost of nuts that much?
You know what? I don't know. It's across the board.
Where do you source your nuts from?
There's a supplier that's based out of Connecticut that we use. But they're actually getting it straight from the source from, you know, basically across the world, whatever the type of nut is. And they're also seeing their costs go up.
I'm curious, is it like, are you seeing the peanut cost is more than the cashew, which is more than the...
Well, I can only tell you this. I know that pecans have gone up considerably, and almonds have gone up a bit.
Where do your pecans come from? Do you know?
I don't actually know where they originate from.
Because they're in the mix, right?
That's correct.
So what are your plans then with all these rising costs? How are you reacting? How much have you had to increase your prices, if at all?
Well, and that's the thing, is that we can't increase our prices. And it is a premium product, so we're already sort of at a higher price point than most other brands that are out there. So basically, really, the strategy is we don't want to affect the ingredients because we want to keep the formula that we have, because the recipe is the recipe. So it's really about sort of procuring in larger quantities, which is extremely difficult for a smaller business because you don't have that cash flow.
And does that mean that you've had to maybe not expand as quickly as you would have liked to or hire fewer people?
Well, that's correct. That's exactly right. So, I mean, you know, all is good, but again, it's just another challenge where I don't think a lot of people see that. And the larger food companies, i.e. the Conagras of the world, you know, they have a little bit more leverage on the retail shelf to say, you know what, we're going to increase our consumer cost. We're going to increase the cost of the consumer by 1.2%. And a smaller food company, of which there are so many out there, don't really have that leverage of scale to be able to pass that on to the consumer,
Indeed.
Even that small incremental amount.
So are any of your customers saying to you, this is it, I can't take it anymore, I'm going back to Cheerios?
No. No, and that's the good thing about it is that, you know, people understand what quality is, and I have to, you know, conclude that people are seeing just at the gas pump, obviously, it's affecting their life immediately. I think people understand that. And it's really about portion control.
So we've transitioned to a diet show.
Certainly when you're eating granola, it's about portion control.
That's exactly right. Kurt,
thank you so much. Good luck out there.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
We have so many people in so many different kinds of businesses. Oh, and Kurt, hang on a second. Oh, too late. Well, Kurt, my producer does want to ask you a question. I think she picked you up. Good. So many people calling in from so many kinds of businesses. We'll take a couple more before we run out of time. Naomi in Somerset, you own an airport?
Yes, my family and I own Princeton Airport.
Uh-huh.
And the last load of fuel that came a week ago Monday was 70 cents a gallon higher than the previous load, and which was probably 3 weeks prior. And there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. Aviation fuel is a very small percentage of the gross fuel produced, so we're really at the mercy of the vendor.
How do you make money owning an airport? You charge fees to the small plane owners who want to take off and land and park there?
Well, mostly the people that live based at the airport. Fuel, we sell airplanes, we have a flying school. Of course, the price of the per hour rental had to go up. I sent out an email to everybody, said that it was going up, and we hope that it would go back down, and then we'll lower our rates. Some people do it as a surcharge. It doesn't matter. It still is a charge. I just got a load of ice cream to sell for the summer. They said the nuts went up, the milk went up, the fuel delivery, and they sent a whole letter, and, you know, if you want to carry it, you have to carry it. It's challenging, and we had a very difficult winter, obviously, with this weather,
right.
And finally saw a little break in the sky, and then this hit.
Naomi, good luck out there. Thank you for checking in. And Anil in Jackson Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anil.
Hi, Brian. Thanks. We own a small business. We own some rental properties in the
mm-hmm.
Bronx,
uh-huh.
which happen to be right next to a school. And it seems like we are getting squeezed by the city more than anything else. Ever since the city had this fiscal crisis, the water department has rebuilt us. For the last year, now we got a water bill for $11,000.
They recalculated your bill upwards.
Yes, and it seems like Department of Sanitation, every other day they're issuing tickets for a tissue on the sidewalk. When you know, and it's just like we're on the cusp of bankruptcy almost. I mean, we can't and then the city reassesses the value up, and then they raise the property taxes when in reality the value of the property is going down, so it's.
So what do you do to compensate?
We're trying to renegotiate our loan with the bank, because right now, like I said, we're a couple of months behind on the mortgage payments, because we have to pay the water bill, we have to pay Con Edison. Con Edison just like their rates go up, and it just seems like the Department of Sanitation is just like very, very unfair. The way they're issuing tickets.
And are you trying to raise the rents as well for people who live there or the businesses, whoever is renting those properties?
Yeah, well, it's most of the tenants there are like Section 8 and stuff, so it's very hard to kind of just go ahead and raise the rent, and you know, whatever market bears, I mean, we can't really go over that.
So do you feel like you're getting squeezed then if the properties need renovations at the same time?
Oh, we got these properties a few years ago, and we put a whole lot of money. These were like all gut renovated. This building was in really, really bad shape. So we spent in about $200,000 when we went in.
And the world needs people like you. That's for sure. But, Anil, hang in there. I got to run because we're way over time. But thank you so much. Good luck.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. And thanks to all of you. I apologize to so many of you who are waiting on hold right now who are not going to be able to get to. But Charlie Herman, business and economics editor here at WNYC, I think we should just make a deal right now with each other to come back.
Yeah, obviously, there's a big concern for a lot of people.
And let a lot of other business owners and managers call in on this and some other things.
Sounds great.
Well, last thought?
I think for individuals, it's really tough. If businesses are worried about spending, it's going to make it harder for the job market to look better. I know something you talked about earlier in the show today.
Charlie Herman, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll finish up today for our last few minutes with 200 reasons to love the Manhattan street grid, which turns 200 years old today.